Ipse leads the way.
Ipse.
One system, personnel, and pay.
Ipse.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the Ipse podcast, where we give you updates on what's going on with the program. I am Colonel Becky Luss, the Ipse Functional Management Division Director. Today, I'm joined by some special guests from Army Human Resources Command, or HRC. Major General Hope Rampey, the HRC Commanding General, and Colonel Don Fagnan, the Director for Military Personnel and Readiness Directorate. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you, Becky. You know, I was thinking about it. I think getting on this podcast is almost tougher than Survivor. I had to wait till season 5 to get on, but I'm really glad to be here today. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, Becky. First podcast ever.
Yes, ma'am. I don't know what tribe you are on. We'll see at the end. You've got your purple, red, yellow, where we're going with our Survivor episode here. Dawn, thank you for being here also. As always, the Ipse team and the larger HR enterprise is busy working to maximize soldier talent. The full transition of the marketplace to Ipse is a big one. But before we get started, I want to allow first-time Ipse podcast guests to provide some insights into their background. I will start by passing the mic back to Major General Rampey to talk about your background and current role as the HRCCG. Ma'am, over to you.
All right. Thanks, Becky. You know, my entire career really has been in pursuit of taking care of soldiers. I was commissioned as an AG Corps officer. I've had the typical personnel jobs, but I've also commanded at the company and the battalion level. Being able to serve as the 62nd Adjutant General, I really got a better understanding of not just our essential personnel services, but the connection between all of our personnel systems. And then prior to becoming the commanding general for HRC, I worked personnel policy as the director for military personnel management. So it's really nice to bring that background home to the Human Resources Command.
Yes, ma'am, for sure. Dawn, over to you. Can you give us a little bit about your background and your current role at HRC?
So currently serving as the Director of Military Personnel and Readiness Directorate, known as MPRD, here at HRC. So we run the markets and we have all the talent managers to advise the force on career development education. Been in the Army for about 28 years. First 10 years was as an infantryman and been doing AG work for the last 18. Glad to be here.
All right. Thank you. Okay, ma'am, back to you. I would say this is a busy time of year for HRC, but I'm not really sure if it's ever not busy for you and the team there. So can you tell us a little bit about the priorities for HRC as it pertains to building the future force?
Yeah, thanks, Becky. You're right. The people business is always a booming business. But as far as our priorities, I think first and foremost to the directors here was making sure that we align our actions and our priorities with the Chief of Staff of the Army. And so putting warfighting, readiness, transformation, and the strengthening of our profession at the forefront. And then delivering readiness to the right formation in the right place at the right time. And I think Don will talk a little bit more about that. But internally, I personally have been focused on our modernization efforts and ones that will impact the soldier experience. Because I think how HRC supports or provides information to soldier, family, or a veteran really will make a difference. I'm creating what I've called our digital front door, and it's improving our call center, our website, and focusing on our processes. You know, looking at creative ways to refine how we deliver readiness, provide options to increase retention, and really just trying to be transparent with the field.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, looking forward to all the improvements with the modernization and that digital front door. Dawn, over to you. With the marketplace comes highlighting individual soldier talent and skills. Can you tell us a little bit about data-driven information like the knowledge, skills, and behaviors, or KSBs, and why that's important for soldiers' careers as we modernize the Army?
So, Becky, KSBs is really, it's the story of you, what talents you have to offer, potentially what your gaps are for continued development. And then based on where you're at, that kind of drives your preferences in the market, especially as we've got the two-way markets with the officers and the warrant officers. So we're working with Ipse so soldiers can better articulate their talents. Like ideally in the future, we'd like it so it can automatically pull based on things that you've done over your career to kind of start at least informing where you might be a good fit or where some gaps are in your holes if you want to continue to get better as a professional.
Okay. Ma'am, in your opinion, how important is the talent management for not only implementing change, but also for building that future force?
Yeah. First, though, before I talk about talent management, I love Don's one-liner. KSBs are the story of you. Hey, Don, if we ever need to produce a movie on IPSE, that's my vote for the title. But in all seriousness, as we look at knowledge, skills, and behaviors in managing talent, it's highly significant for both implementing change and developing that future workforce. You know, how do we retain the right talent and retrain where needed to meet future requirements for some of our military occupational specialties? We're working with transformation and contact units and centers of excellence right now to kind of try and stay engaged and up to date on current and future requirements.
I agree. I do like that. Tell us the story of you. Talking about the story of you, let's talk about from a human resource perspective, what are some of the most desirable KSBs that you're looking for?
So I think as we look at the future force, so it's a great question. And I know TRADOC and now T2Com have been working to identify what do we need to start assessing today so we've got the right skills for tomorrow. So I'm not sure what that answer is going to be, but I can tell you there's some timeless talents that we've been looking for in the past and will probably continue to look for in the future. And that is folks with good leadership, they're team builders, they know how to solve problems. And they're good communicators. I think that's probably timeless yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But I can see a time where we're going to want more soldiers that are tech savvy, especially as our equipment gets a little bit more complicated, and folks that are more data literate. So they understand how to integrate all the information that's coming across the battlefield in order to integrate that and then communicate that to their commanders to make decisions.
I definitely agree. More tech savvy, data literate, looking at how people can update their KSBs to proclaim that they know how to code in Java and Python. So a lot of opportunities for soldiers to tell their stories and their talents. Right. You guys have given us some great insights onto what your team is working on and is currently working on. But as we look ahead, what can the force expect, let's say, in the next 6 months? Ma'am?
Yeah, thanks, Becky. I think simply put, it's eliminate, automate, simplify. You know, rethinking how work gets done by eliminating outdated processes or reducing requirements, automating where it makes sense, and simplifying wherever possible. And so whether it's a simple, how do I submit a packet for officer candidate school, and it used to be a number of files, and Don Fagnan has already had his team reduce that significantly. And then we hope to start beta testing our own Ask HR chatbot in the near future. So we're testing different AI efforts with boards and the ability to conduct virtual boards probably in the future with our automated selection board system. And I guess really, if I had to say what the next 6 months is about, it's about trying to stress capabilities and focus on what matters most, delivering readiness and taking care of soldiers.
Yes, ma'am. All of those definitely getting after that effort to improve that soldier experience. So the IPSE marketplace for the active component in the 2603 enlisted manning cycle opened in July of 2025, and it recently closed. How did it go? And are there any lessons learned that you guys are going to use for the next cycle?
So Becky, we've had NCOs in the IPSE markets for a while, which has been good. So this last market, we had about 4,300 NCOs in it. We were able to get everyone slated for assignment and no issues. And that's kind of a testament with HRC working with your team to troubleshoot along the way and really get to a point where it's working as it's designed. And that was really a prereq for us to bring in a lot more complexity, where for ATAP 2602, so those officers and warrant officers that will report summer 26, we're all in on IPS for two-way markets. And we've been doing that so far and have not really been having any issues. But as far as kind of lessons learned from the next market, we're just going to continue to work with your team really to make that user experience better. And General Rampy kind of hit it on that with eliminate and simplify. So how can we make things a little bit more intuitive? Less clicks is always good, but we also want to bring in some additional functionality. Some of the things we're looking at, whether it's officers and enlisted, is KD versus broadening markets, and a little bit more level of precision. So soldiers can see, kind of based on where they're at in their career, the different types of jobs they should be going into, and better integrate all the different ASIs, SQIs, and everything that the Army's got to show folks what opportunities are available for them and potentially where they might be a good fit, so they can, that can help shape their preferences. And I'd say the last thing is, we kind of want to get, like, looking long term for enlisted and for officers. We get like to get to the point where IPSA kind of informs the unit individuals and individuals who's the best match. So think of it like when you shop on Amazon, when you put something in your cart, Amazon's telling you other items you might like, that you might change your selection and, or at least open your eyes to other things that's out there. I think we could probably do something similar with people and build that into the market to inform preferencing. Besides just one person, who are all the other folks that are qualified for those jobs, or where might you be qualified for other jobs that you might not have even thought about? So kind of getting to that desired end state and figuring out how can we get there over time. So we kind of take some industry best practices and bring that into the people domain as we execute our talent markets.
Yeah, I think sometimes people and units even pigeonhole themselves too much, and they don't, right? There's a lot of people often available in the market, and sometimes it's hard to whittle that down, but then you're sometimes probably missing maybe who's the best fit. So being able to use some of the data to make data-driven decisions might be a best opportunity. Any challenges your team is currently working through with this cycle?
I think one of the things, and we had it with whether we were operating in AIM or some of the different things, is the incomplete details or points of contact for the jobs. We've gotten much better from the pilot that we did in the winter cycle to the summer cycle with populating job descriptions, points of contact. Really, it's so the individuals out in the field know who they can reach out to if they have any additional questions. That's probably the biggest thing to start working on. And that's really a lot of work with the individual units and then those hiring officials. So it's easy for them to update additional information. That's really the biggest, I think, challenge that we're working through. And then we've got some stuff at the top of the system just so we can add folks in a little bit quicker to various different markets. Because as you know, everyone's individual circumstance changes every day. Life happens. Sometimes we're bringing folks into the market, and sometimes we're pulling folks out of the market. So just being able to get them the ability to enter the market and see everything quickly so they can catch up or take a knee, they're the biggest things we're working on, man.
I would agree on the job details. That's one of the things that I hear most feedback from, to include from the captains from here that are leaving, that are trying to find jobs out there. Who should they call to try to get that job is like the number one challenge that they express.
And I think we got to crack that code, because if we ever want to provide recommendations for hiring officials and or individuals in the market of where they're a good match, we need everyone to participate. We need the individuals making sure their talents are accurate and documented, but then also that's kind of the other piece is making sure that the units are saying, here's what I'm looking for. Because if we don't have that on both sides for kind of supply and demand, it'll be tough to figure out where those good matches are. So definitely something that's foundational that we continue to need to work on.
So what marketplace resources are available to help users, and where can they find them?
So there's a bunch of stuff on the HRC website. We've got pre-taped and recorded if you're a unit and you're trying to figure out how to navigate to preference individuals, how to update your position information or points of contact. We've got things on our website where you can go to and take a look. I think they're also embedded in some of the IPSA's website as well, but then also things for individuals. So lots of different places. Really, you just got to Google it and things will pop up. And then we're always available to do individual unit training. We've done that in the past, whether it's for folks that are down at the Captain's Career Course at CGSC, or if you've got units at an installation that want to get some additional training on how to set up the market and get everything ready. We've got all types of subject matter experts here that can assist.
Okay. Thank you both for all of the amazing information and updates from today. I got a couple good one-liners and themes that we can work on moving forward. Ma'am and Colonel Fagnan, any final thoughts before we sign off?
Hey, Becky and team, again, thanks for the opportunity. You know, I talked a lot about transforming, whether it's a process or a practice, and I think our digital transformation really enables battlefield readiness, and we want to continue to work with you and all the great work to update IPSE, you know, helping leaders to act faster, having clean, connected data, which helps our AI efforts, and really streamlining and connecting across the other Army data platforms. So thanks again for the opportunity.
Thank you, ma'am.
Becky, thanks for having me. My first podcast ever. I'd say everyone has kind of got a vested interest to make sure that the markets are working. If you're an individual, that's so you can market yourself to kind of get the job that you're looking for. And then likewise, if you're a unit, it's to find the best talent. So I think we've all got a vested interest to get this right, to make it a great process and a great system, because it's good for the individual and it's also good for the unit. So, but thanks for having me.
Yes, I agree. Build unit readiness and then improve the soldier experience. All right, that's it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. Until next time, keep driving the change we need in our Army.
Soldier, right job, right on time.
24/7, 365.